Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And today, what are my top 10 questions in America that have been left unanswered, but that I will never forget? And if they are my top 10 questions, I have a feeling that they might rank somewhere near the top for you as well. My top 10 questions in America that have been left unanswered, but that I will never forget until I get an answer to them. While the election of Donald Trump to the presidency has severely hampered the overwhelming flood of tyranny that's been engulfing us, well, there are still many issues that have been left hanging in suspension and ignored by government in general, by the deep state in general. The tyrants who oppress us hope that we have short attention spans. Tough luck. There's an internet myth that the human attention span has grown shorter and shorter, such that it is shorter, that is, the human attention span, 8 seconds, than that of a goldfish, which is 9 seconds. Well, I think this falls into the category of urban legend. But nevertheless, our oppressors rely on their egregious acts of tyranny to be forgotten. With enough time and inattention, perhaps we will forget about their evil depredations of our liberties. That is, that we have the attention span of a goldfish. But if you're anything like me, you have not forgotten, nor will you. I remember everything that's been done to me by the deep state. And I want justice, not revenge. I want justice. So, let's begin. My top 10 questions that have been left unanswered in America. Number one, why are we not getting the full story on the so-called Epstein files? Oh, and this issue far transcends a mere list of clients of a purveyor of sexual services. No, Jeffrey Epstein worked on behalf of numerous intelligence agencies, including Israeli Mossad and the CIA. We have come to see that he was even a part of the World Economic Forum. He had much more to do with the running of the world, if you will, than anybody suspected. Now, the fundamental ploy of unscrupulous agents like Epstein was to maneuver rich and powerful men into compromised situations with underage girls or boys in his vacation getaway resorts. And then he would use those records of those perverted crimes to blackmail the participants. On and on we could go about the Epstein files. I'll have a discreet whole broadcast on that here in the near future. But enough to say that we are not getting the full story on the so-called Epstein files because so many of the people responsible for covering up are jeopardized by those files. Yet this twisted, perverted culture went beyond mere scandalous adventures on the weekend, and we're going to unpack that for you in greater detail in broadcasts to come. But the number two question that I will never forget until it has been answered is number two. Why are we not getting full accountability for the COVID criminal fraud? Huh? The COVID criminal fraud. Have you forgotten about COVID? I sure haven't. Men like Anthony Fauci or Dr. Robert Redfield or Bill Gates, all of these and many, many more, hope that we will all forget about the draconian policies they instituted back in 2020 during the COVID crisis. We now know that everything they told us about this threat to humanity was a lie. The virus was developed in a lab in the United States and then shipped to a lab in Wuhan, China, all the way back in 2014. It didn't come from a wet market in Wuhan, as the lying media told us, and then spread subsequently around the world. No, it was in a lab in Wuhan, China. Its lethality also was deliberately overplayed in order to instill fear. It's funny how all the stats for the flu, even egregious a severe flu, disappeared during that year, and all the numbers for COVID went up all of a sudden. Well, also, the measures were stupidly ineffective. Masks, six-foot distancing, and that obsessive-compulsive behavior of washing and wiping everything in sight. Also, medical professionals who disagreed with the received policies were attacked, deplatformed from social media, had their careers destroyed by the powers that be. The so-called vaccines. Oh, I still have relatives who are suffering from the effects of the vaccines on their health. Their immune systems destroyed. The so-called vaccines were not only ineffective in dealing with the virus, but also proved to be harmful to our immune systems. And, of course, so deleterious was the assault on our healthcare system that all trust in that system's policies and procedures, was destroyed for the average American. And I'm one of those average Americans. I no longer trust the healthcare system in America. The entire affair gives every evidence also of being a usurpation of our freedoms and our way of life through fear and necessity. Oh, we have to do this to save the health of the American. No. Fear and necessity drove us like cattle over the edge of the cliff. Rather than a sincere effort to protect and heal the U.S. population, no, it was to control us. Panic the people, then plunge them into a medical tyranny. Well, if this is true, and I think it is, then a full accounting must be made, holding those responsible for this breathtaking crime against humanity. A COVID tribunal should be established yesterday. Dear listener, I don't know about you, but I will never forget what's been done to me in the COVID tyranny until indeed justice has been brought to it. Thirdly, in my top 10, right? In my top 10 questions in America that have been left unanswered and that I'll never forget, by the way. Number 3, why do we not have a full transparent report on the Trump assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania? So many of us assume that because we have identified the particular shooter on that day, Thomas Crooks, that we have solved the question of the larger picture of what was being attempted that day. For example, it is well documented that Crooks practiced at the same shooting range as several FBI agents, and he had regular contact with several of them. Also, Crooks had a history of taking SSRI drugs. That's been the profile of so many mass shooters. Also, there's been no thorough explanation as to why Crooks was allowed to position himself on the roof of that utility building close to Trump, even carrying a ladder in front of everyone to climb to the roof. Dozens of people on the ground saw him positioning himself with a rifle, and they pointed to him, yelled, yet nothing was done. And while Trump did have Secret Service protection, it is acknowledged by all that it was the B team, not the best they could provide. No report has been provided either by the Secret Service on the failures of that day. If indeed this assassination attempt was a well-coordinated effort of the deep state, and I believe it was, the evidence is affirming that. Well, we need a complete report on it, and I will not forget. I will not forget this assault on our liberties until an answer and justice has been provided. Number 4, why do we not have a full transparent report on the Trump assassination attempt at Trump International Golf Club in Florida? Huh? The same things that can be said about the assassination attempt at Butler, Pennsylvania, can be said about that perpetrated at Trump International Golf Club. The assassin, Ryan Ruth, sequestered himself in the shrubbery of the golf course, waiting for Trump to make his way to the sixth hole on July 15th of 2024. Fortunately, a Secret Service agent spotted his weapon protruding from the bushes and fired several rounds at him. Now, he fled the scene, but was later captured. This past February 4th of 2026, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole after being found guilty of 5 counts of murder. 2 conspirators are suspected of working with him to acquire weapons, Tina Cooper and Ronnie Oxendine. Ruth was also an avid supporter of the Ukraine war against Russia, and Ruth's connections to the Ukraine-Russia conflict have never been fully explored or explained. It is well established that radical Ukrainian fascist groups do have a presence here, and they use violence to silence political opposition. How can genuine peace be made in Ukraine when those who work hard to bring peace are murdered or attempted to be murdered like President Trump? No, these questions have been left unanswered, and I will not forget until there is answers and justice. Number five, the fifth question for me that has been left unanswered in my top 10 list of questions in America that have been left unanswered, but that I will never forget, is number five. Why do we not have indictments and prosecutions for the unlawful treatment of the January 6th protesters? Why do we not have indictments and prosecutions for the unlawful treatment of the January 6th protesters? Oh, those indictments and prosecutions and imprisonments sure happened fast enough after January 6th, huh? We now know that the so-called civil unrest was fomented and encouraged by FBI assets deliberately planted among the protesters on that day. The peaceful protesters were herded and goaded into situations where they would be scooped up by law enforcement. The entire affair was a setup intended to put the Trump supporters in the worst possible light as violent terrorists bent upon insurrection rather than protest. Representative Clay Higgins of Louisiana estimates there were over 200 FBI assets on site at the Capitol that day. They were inciting and encouraging protesters to cross barriers and quote-unquote trespass, right? In addition, we know this. Nancy Pelosi refused National Guard protection offered by President Trump for that day. And both Ashley Babbitt and Roseanne Boyland were killed by cops who couldn't keep from overreacting in violence. Ashley Babbitt was shot by Capitol Hill police officer. That's a euphemism. He was no police officer in reality. Michael Byrd. And then Roseanne Boyland was beaten to death by Capitol Police officer Lila Morris. Where is justice for these two victims of Capitol riots, huh? And over 1,000 people have been imprisoned by the Biden Department of Just Us. Not justice, but the Biden Department of Just Us. That is the two-tiered system of justice, where favored progressives receive mercy for crimes they commit, while innocent protesters who merely walk between the velvet ropes in the Capitol building receive harsh, decades-long sentences. And, of course, the entire fiasco appears to have been designed to entrap sincere, law-abiding protesters in a pre-planned, ready-made conspiracy to make them appear to be radical, violent Trump insurrectionists. A number of people should be in prison today for these crimes. Nancy Pelosi, Michael Boyd, and Lila Morris, for starters. In addition, all of those who presided over the kangaroo court of the January 6th commission should be in prison too. If ever there was a sheer political show trial meant only to justify the unjustifiable, this was it. Well, number six. My sixth of my top 10 questions in America that have been left unanswered, but that I will never forget. Number six is, why have we not secured our election process and made the fraudsters pay? Why have we not secured our election process and made the fraudsters pay? With the upcoming midterm elections in fall of 2026, this is perhaps the most important issue before us. It is widely acknowledged now that the election of 2020 was characterized by widespread fraud, especially in crucial swing states. For example, in Georgia, counties like Fulton County, incorporating Atlanta, there were rivers of mail-in ballots that were run numerous times through counters while the station was ostensibly closed. And this fraud was captured on security cameras. That's why we know. But nothing was ever done about it. In Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, they all experienced chain of custody problems with ballots that were not securely handled at counting stations across their respective states. Now, it's a well-established principle that if a set of ballots cannot be certainly accounted for as to where they've been and where they're going and in whose hands they're being transported, well, those ballots are automatically set aside and not counted. This practice was ignored at crucial counting stations across the country. And then Arizona and Nevada experienced delays in counting under suspicious circumstances, delays in which President Trump experienced a lead until magically just enough ballots were produced to put Biden over the top in 2020. And then across the country, but especially in swing states like Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, voters complained of voting for President Trump and Republicans on electronic voting machines, and then seeing their votes switched to Biden and the Democrats right before their eyes. Also, several fraudsters have been convicted of voting multiple times, but this practice is rife throughout the country and should be prosecuted even more vigorously. And then, of course, illegal aliens across the country now vote despite not having a voter ID all across the country. Voter rolls, too, are weighted with illegal aliens, persons dead for decades, persons long since having moved from their respective states, for example, and they all seem to vote with dedication for Democrats. Now, some of these problems can be addressed by the Save America Act, where only American citizens can vote, and a valid ID must be produced at a polling station, and no more mail-in ballots. Well, as of this broadcast, the Senate has refused to vote on it, though it passed the House earlier this month. Prod your senators to get this done. And the Save America Act is a good start, but problems still remain with some of the provisions, and then other problems remain unaddressed. That is, the monitoring of security at polling stations, the chain of custody matters I mentioned, and the widespread use of electronic voting machines instead of paper ballots. Well, voter fraud has become institutionalized across America. In fact, some observers suspect that even deep blue states like California or New York, they're actually much more conservative than voting tabulations show. But the stranglehold that Democrats routinely put around the necks of these states once in power has corrupted the voting process in these states. The maxim is true. Once turned blue, fraud keeps it blue. I'd love to see a thorough expose into California, for example, to document this phenomenon. The American public must be a dog on a bone with this issue. We must not forget it and make sure that those who have become our rulers, rather than public servants, make sure they do not forget it either. And I, for one, will never forget. Number seven of my top 10 questions in America that have been left unanswered, but that I will never forget. Number seven, why have there not been indictments and prosecutions for all of the fraud uncovered by DOGE, including the Somali daycare scam? Well, the so-called Department of Government Efficiency came on the scene like a roaring lion, but left the stage like a meowing pussycat in late 2025, having exposed a widespread swath of waste, corruption, and fraud along the way. Many grifting contracts were terminated when they were exposed, and numbers of grifting federal employees were also terminated, that is, workers who collected a paycheck but never produced any work. Wasteful practices like duplicating data collection across agencies, that was ended. Redundant, wasteful bureaus and boards and practices were eliminated by the establishment of private sector business practices that are efficient, unlike government. Well, the gutting of USAID, for example, from which Democrats in particular were financing elections and non-governmental organizations and lining their own pockets, on and on we could go with USAID, that was worth the price of admission, the gutting of it. Well, good stuff out of a good start. But with the departure of Elon Musk in the lead, all the momentum of DOGE petered out. Like a NASCAR racer hitting a deep patch of mud, DOGE has gotten slogged down by controversy and discouragement and fierce opposition from those whose gravy train has been interrupted. But once more, the silence is deafening. Where are the prosecutions of clear, cynical corruption? Perhaps something will come of the Somali daycare scam, too. but I'm not going to be holding my breath waiting for it. Number eight of my top 10 questions in America that have gone unanswered, but that I will never forget. Number 8, why have we not seen any indictments and prosecutions for the millions of illegal aliens cynically brought across the border under the Biden administration? Oh, at the top of my list of top 10 candidates for conviction in a court of law with a consequent death penalty as punishment is former Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Now that it is becoming increasingly clear that many more than the estimated 325,000 missing children were smuggled across our border under the Biden administration, it is time to have a full accounting. Mayorkas heads the list of those responsible for all of the evil our open borders created. It is fully documented that gangs like Venezuelan Tren de Aragua and El Salvador's MS-13 built a smuggling industry for 4 years, where a steady river of women and children were brought over that border and sold into slavery in American industry and the American sex trade. And with the increasing revelations of the Epstein files, we also see a connection here with evil Luciferian cults where children are used in blood sacrificial rituals. Now, don't be a naive, brainwashed Pollyanna, dear listener. Your ruling class is far more evil than most Americans suspect. I have entire broadcast on this topic on our website, americastruths.org. Reference those. In addition, there are many seditious features of an open border. Thousands of Chinese nationals, well-equipped young men of military age, and violent Iranian sleeper cells that have quietly crossed our border over the last 4 years and have established themselves at strategic points across the country. Do you want a war with Iran? Oh, you may be surprised and get one war with more death and destruction than you bargained for. How about power stations blowing up and your lights going out, bridges destroyed, and your local church the victim of a vicious Sunday morning attack? All of this and more is in store for us, courtesy of Secretary Mayorkas and his team of traitors. Some observers postulate that not only did Mayorkas allow this flood of immigration with dire consequences for the USA, but he has been a part of the planning of it for larger purposes. Oh, number nine now of my top 10 questions in America that have gone unanswered, but that I will never forget. Question number nine is, what's up with the Department of Justice? What's up with the Department of Justice? I have saved this one for near the end because the Department of Justice is where justice in America goes to die. The Department of Justice in America is the graveyard of righteous prosecutions. When I ask, why have we not seen any indictments or prosecutions on all of the previous headings? You may remember me prefacing those headings with that. Why have we not seen any indictments and prosecutions for X, Y, or Z? Well, it's because of the inaction of the current Department of Justice. Attorney General Pam Bondi is absent without leave in her post. She is AWOL. My top 10 list for prosecution still has not a single check mark by any of the names, whether it be the aforementioned Alejandro Mayorkas or Hillary Clinton, number 2. Number 3, Merrick Garland, right? The former Attorney General under Biden, a criminal. Or number 4 and 5, FBI directors, James Comey. We need a prosecution on him that sticks. That one put on him just slithered right off him, didn't it? Or former FBI director Christopher Wray, or John Brennan, CIA, James Clapper, National Security, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, and then finally Biden himself. My top 10. Not a single check mark. Apparently, one of the chief bottlenecks in the flow of prosecutions in the Department of Justice is Assistant Attorney General Todd Blanche, who many say is actually running the department. His boss, Pam Bondi, spends most of her time in Florida rather than in her office in Washington, D.C. Bondi is fond of the media spotlight, frankly, and is said to be a legal lightweight. At the end of the day, Pam Bondi is a dilettante of justice, not an attack dog of justice. We need an attack dog in the Department of Justice and not a dilettante. Todd Blanche, however, is a smart worker bee. He is a career politician and an attorney who Trump seemingly trusts and has represented him even in some cases in the past. But Todd Blanche is also a lifelong Democrat, and he's been chiefly responsible for letting indictments languish on his desk, especially those of deep state operatives like Alejandro Mayorkas. In addition, the entire Department of Justice has been overhauled for years now with deep state operatives who favor the system and they look out for their own interests. Which brings me to number 10, the 10th of my top 10 questions in America that have been left unanswered and I will never forget. No, I will never forget number 10. Will the deep state ever be dismantled? Oh, that's the lingering, overarching question. Will the deep state ever be dismantled? One of the valuable services that Donald Trump has rendered is showing us just how deep and wide and thoroughly entrenched the amorphous bureaucratic state has become. Oh, it's my judgment that we have reached a point in our history where once again, only God can save us. He's done it in the past at many junctures in our colonial history, and he must do it again. But he does not split the skies, come down with avenging angels, and nicely dispensed with his and our enemies. He uses us. Oh, how will we do that? That is forthcoming. This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet for holy worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. Come and join us and call us for feedback and more information at 208-523-0196.